when the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Alas, it is the last Abandoned Manitoba segment for 2019. And with us, as always, Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
And any thoughts on 2019 before we get started?
Well, it's been a great year. I'm looking forward to an even better 2020 because, of course, Manitoba celebrates its 150th birthday.
All right. Are we going to be able to tie that into some of your visits?
We're going to try.
Great. But let's keep our eyes on the prize today. Remind us of the clue you gave last week.
Well, last week I said we were going to talk about a vacant building at Larivere. And actually, incidentally, it's celebrating its 100th birthday this year.
Oh.
And I thought that listeners would find this building generally interesting. And, of course, Nadia caught on right away that I was stressing the word generally. It's because I'm talking today about, well, general stores generally.
Ah. Okay.
And a specific general store at Larivere called Fargie's.
Fargie's General Store.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. Every small town in Manitoba had a general store at one time or another, didn't they? Or
exactly.
Maybe more than one?
Yeah, and that's often more than one. So people living in small communities, you know, might have relied on things like the Eaton's mail order catalog for the specialty items, the bigger items. But, you know, for most day-to-day purchases, they would patronize a store in the town that they lived in. These stores had a little bit of everything, but usually not a lot of selection for any particular item. So, you know, let's say you wanted a pair of rubber boots. You know, they would usually have one brand. There wasn't a lot of selection that way. And they might even not have a whole range of sizes. So if you went in there buying, you know, a pair of boots, you might come out with a pair that was just a little bit too big and you'd have to just wear an extra pair of socks.
Make do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It sounds like you have some firsthand knowledge of general stores.
Absolutely. You know, my connection to them goes back three generations. You know, my great grandmother ran a general store at a little place called Stephenfield, which is 12 miles west of Carmen.
Okay.
And it was later operated by my uncle Marcel and his wife Millie. You know, as a young kid, I remember visits to that store with my grandmother, and we were there to either buy gas for her car, or we might be there to pick up the mail that was inside the post office in the store.
Right.
You know, and if I was really good, you know, I could get a treat like a pop or a candy. You know, so that was my very earliest experience with general stores,
right.
And then later in my teen years in the 1970s. One of my summer jobs was at a place called the Sanford Co-op. That was a general store about 15 miles southwest of Winnipeg. You know, and unlike my great-grandmother's store, it sold a quite a bit wider range of goods. You know, it had groceries, hardware, lumber and building supplies, petroleum products. Well, in fact, I, for one summer, drove the fuel truck for the co-op. So I have really vivid memories of trying to satisfy customers who would come in with all kinds of requests, you know, sometimes ones that were really hard to fulfill. They might want an oil filter for an obscure model of tractor. And of course, we didn't keep a wide selection of oil filters, you know, so we might be able to help them. We might not. Or they might come in wanting a load of 2x4s and they had to be a very specific length and they had to have no knots and they had to be perfectly straight. Well, we couldn't always fulfill that demand either. You know, and it went on and on. Every day was a little bit different. But the really interesting part for me was that the second floor of the building was filled to overflowing with unsold merchandise. And, you know, and this was often one-of-a-kind items from the distant past. You know, one thing that hadn't sold, so they just stuck it upstairs. You know, and for somebody who is history-minded like me, this place was a wonderful place to explore.
Where is that stuff now?
Boy, your guess is as good as mine. You know,
great to find some of it.
Wouldn't it be, though?
So now we just talk about malls and big box stores and even online shopping. So small-town general stores, they must be, if they still survive, must be under considerable pressure.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, they have small sales volumes, so they really can't compete on price. So instead, they have to use sort of their natural advantages of personal service, you know, the intimate knowledge of their customers. So the stores that have survived have usually either been situated in fairly remote communities that are far from local centers so that there is an incentive to buy locally, or they've morphed into things like convenience stores, you know, where they focus on perishables or specialty items. You know, so for example, we have Turgeson's General Store at Gimli, and
yes,
it's carved out a very successful niche catering to tourists.
Yeah, very popular. It's always crowded in there, especially in the summertime.
Absolutely.
So do you know how many general stores are still around in Manitoba? Any stats?
You know, I have no idea of the remaining number of them. But, you know, the thing in the course of my travels around the province, I have found numerous former general stores, you know, buildings that were clearly a general store at one time that are no longer. You know, I'll just give you a dozen of them just off the top.
Okay.
You know, Argyle, Badger, Broomhill, Greenway, Homefield, Kane, Ladywood, Lake Audie, Mariapolis, Panema, Rose Isle, Vista, you know, and just to name a few. And I bet our listeners are already saying, oh, how about the one at, you know, wherever? Yeah. Because there are probably many of them. Some of them, of course, have been turned into other purposes. They closed and they've been renovated into, say, a museum or an art center. You know, some of them have become people's homes. But in a few cases, they're just simply abandoned.
What about the one where you work, the Sanford Co-op? What happened to that?
Well, unfortunately, in its later years, the co-op struggled to do business as it had done. It tried to sort of stick to its traditional ways, and unfortunately, the surrounding community was changing. You know, Sanford was simply too close to Winnipeg, you know, so most people would simply drive there for their groceries or to find that obscure mechanical part. You know, so a few years after I stopped working there, it closed, but the building was purchased and reopened with a focus on lumber and building supplies, and an advantage that the present store has that the Sanford Co-op lacked is that they have a license for local liquor vending, and I suspect that that's pretty lucrative.
That is the right word. So let's go back to today's focus, Fargie's General Store in La Riviere. What's the story there?
Well, the store was originally owned by a gentleman named John H. Fargie, and he came here from Ontario with his four brothers in the late 1870s. They established farms in southern Manitoba, and John Fargie became one of the region's largest landowners. At one time, he owned up to 1,200 acres, which, well, I mean, that's almost four times what the average farmer would have owned at that time. Mm-hmm. But also, he was interested in other things. So in 1894, after the railway arrived in the area, Fargie built a general store, and it was in La Riviere. Now, if any of our listeners have never visited La Riviere, I would encourage you to have a look, because it's a beautiful, picturesque town nestled in the Pembina River Valley, about 100 miles southwest of Winnipeg. And, you know, it's a beautiful little community where Fargie built his store.
And it's still there.
Well, actually, no. Oh. The original Fargie store, built in 1894, burned down in 1919. But I guess
100 years ago.
Exactly. Well, it's 100th birthday this year. And I guess there was enough business that he replaced it with the current building that stands. It's a two-story wood frame building, the entire exterior of which is covered in silver pressed tin metal panels.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so it's quite an attractive looking building. And, you know, like general stores elsewhere, Fargie's store sold, you know, a wide range of merchandise. It was basically a general store. And like my great-grandmother's store, it also hosted the local post office. You know, I have no firsthand information on how the interior was organized, but if it's anything like the other stores that I've been in, the store and the post office would have been on the first floor, and the second floor would have been for unsold inventory. Well, in fact, it was very much like the Sanford Co-op, because in 1907, Fargie purchased the assets of a nearby defunct lumber company, and that enabled him to diversify into things like building supplies and fuel. You know, so in effect, hey, it was very much like the Sanford Co-op. It really offered a little bit of everything.
Yeah, the more you could spread it out, the more chance of revenue, I guess.
Making a sale. You go in there wanting one thing, and sometimes you'd even buy something different just because you couldn't buy what you wanted, but hey, that's something I need, so I'll buy that.
So did the Fargies still own the general store?
Well, they did own it for a very long time. In fact, three generations of the Fargie family owned the business. John Fargie died in 1930. His son took it over and operated it for a number of years. In fact, his grandson took it over in 1950, but he had it only for about a year before he sold it to another couple, Blair and Mabel Morrison. The Morrison family, they had it until 1973 when they sold it to the Wicklands, Kim and Claire. And if you look closely at the building today, there's actually a sign above the door that proclaims it as Kim's General Store, you know, in commemoration of Kim Wicklund, the what I think was the last proprietor. The store, however, is not in operation. It is, in fact, closed and the building is empty. And as near as I've been able to determine, it closed in late 1999. It was probably due to the same economic pressures that are affecting small businesses elsewhere.
Sure.
You know, it simply was too easy for them to drive to, for example, to Manitou,
yep,
or some other large community. You know, and so the old Fargie's General Store building is unfortunately standing empty. There are a few other buildings on the main drag in Larivière, but the thing about Fargie's is that it's right next to Highway 3.
Right.
You know, and so if you're driving out Highway 3, you know, as you drive by, just have a little bit of a look, maybe slow down or even stop and have a look, you know, because it really does provide a very conspicuous reminder of the sort of bygone days of retail life in small town Manitoba.
I wonder if there's any use for that building at all. I wonder what's in there.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I wonder if upstairs they have some, you know, wonderful items that have been squirreled away over the years.
Vintage items from the past.
Absolutely.
That have never been touched. Well, thanks for that, Gordon. That's very interesting. What's the clue for our first abandoned Manitoba of 2020?
Well, now that we're in the throes of winter, you know, many of us look forward to some winter relaxation among palm trees.
Hmm.
Well, next week I'm going to talk about something that goes back nearly a century, largely forgotten today, called the Pine to Palm Highway.
We'll look forward to that. Thanks very much, Gordon. And all the best to you in 2020. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.